Welcome to Killing Time, hosted by two girls, one ginger. It's a great day today, and that's because we're all wearing our new First Degree merch.
Should we do a little show?
I mean, this is an audio podcast. We're recording video. We're recording video, people. It's happening.
We weren't lying.
We've got video, people.
We're capable.
We're here. It took us a long time. Thanks for staying with us. But we are wearing our First Degree merch. It's now available online for your shopping pleasure.
We look beautiful.
We look beautiful.
Jared's?
Sorry, you ladies look beautiful.
You especially look gorgeous.
No, your merch is actually my favorite.
Do I have the Patreon shirt?
You have the Patreon.
You're wearing the Firsty Underground, like, exclusive sitch. And I am not even allowed to have one. Jack was like, hey, I've got a sample of each merch for you. And I was like, I didn't get one of these.
Wait, did I not give you one?
It's very exclusive.
Okay, well, that was an accident. You can
it's
have
fine.
One. No, but this.
Have you ever seen me wear a t-shirt?
No,
ever?
Do you don't wear them just to like hang out?
No.
Oh, I love a t-shirt. It's pretty much all I wear.
So if you get this t-shirt,
sweatshirt,
you'll have something that not even Alexis can get her hands on.
Nope.
Yeah. And the only way that you can get the Firsty Underground t-shirt is by being a member of our Firsty Underground, aka our Patreon. So we're really excited about that. I'm just wearing the First Degree logo tee, which, you know, I thought go really simple.
Because stick with
some
the classics.
Some people, that's what I've learned in my merch career, is some people don't want the glitz and the glamour. They just want the simple shit in life. So you can get all this merch on our merch store, and there's a couple other goodies.
Where is our merch store website, Jacqueline?
It is a Just Merch website.
That Just
is
Merch.
The Maine's merch supply store.
You're welcome for that.
But it is on our link on our website. We'll link it on our Instagram. We'll link it on
we'll
our
link
Facebook.
It everywhere.
Everywhere that you know, get First
Shop for merch
stuff. That's our housekeeping for the day, I think.
I love that.
Other than obviously join our Patreon, but you know.
And
that.
Happy holidays.
Happy holidays.
Oh my gosh, December 8th. Ooh, you guys, we record these a little bit in advance, but tomorrow I will be heading off to France.
What?
To look at.
Oh, right.
To go look at.
I knew that.
Chateaus for our future wedding, and I'm really excited about it.
Oh boy, I can't go. I'm busy. But
Jared's writing new music, but I'm going
you know
with
what?
My mom.
The women always end
what
up.
What am I going
to
do
Jared doesn't
over
need
there?
To be there.
What am I really going to
offer? The wedding.
He would just be like, do you like it? Okay,
Jared,
great.
Just pick a good boutonniere for the love of God.
What do I have to offer in that
Nothing.
Scenario?
A boutonniere.
Okay.
You don't offer
arranging
much in
class.
Life, you know?
I love that, but I'd love a boutonniere.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll just do that.
Yeah. A good suit. Make sure you have a good tailored suit.
Oh, he will. He's
no, I was just
going to
get something
sure
off the rack.
No, we need to make sure the hair is coiled. It's coiffed.
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 It's gingery. It's long. It's flowy.
What's coiffed?
Coiffed. You know? I don't really know.
Deliberate.
So, I just do coiffed.
It's okay. Deliberate.
She's doing a hand. A little
it's more
hand.
Of like
everyone
a,
knows what coiffed means, but no one knows what it looks like.
Yeah. Well, no, everybody knows what it looks like.
Well,
nobody knows
coiffed means you don't look like shit.
Yeah.
I always want to be
kind
well
of coiffed. Voluminous and like put together.
Like okay. A bouffant, maybe.
A bouffant is coiffed.
Yes.
I was.
Or a pompadour.
I was.
It's definitely a vintage sort of a saying. Like. It's
Quaffs?
Like a 60s, it's like a 20s or 60s.
Which is why the pompadour is what made me think that coiffed was like a gelled, like
no.
High
What's
thing.
So funny is
no,
hearing
coiffed has movement. Coiffed can
it's
flow,
a quaff.
It can kind of move in the wind, but it stays in place.
I am coiff.
My dad is the one who taught me the word coiffed, and he also taught me, he's like, one day I was like getting dressed up when I was like 18. He's like, you look all gussied up. And I was like, what's gussied?
Oh, I know gussied. I know
like,
that
that's
one.
Also the same era as coiffed.
Yes.
According
gussied
to my dad.
Gussied sounds like a hussy.
That's right. Don't you know it?
Okay, so should we get into the day?
Please tell us.
Yeah.
Okay, so today is December 8th, and the dark day. This is a very dark day for the entire world.
Okay.
On December 8th of 1980, John Lennon was shot and killed by Mark David Chapman. So I think most of us know the general story, but I'll give you sort of a rundown. So John Lennon lived in New York City, and he left his apartment for the day. I think he was going to write some music, and he ended up coming back to his apartment with Yoko Ono with him. And that's when Mark David Chapman approached him.
Out of the shadows.
What?
He came out of the shadows.
Came out of the shadows, approached him, and shot him at close range four times with a 38 caliber revolver. He was bleeding profusely, rushed to the hospital, but he died en route. So basically, Mark David Chapman met John Lennon earlier that day and he gave him an autograph and he basically just waited around all day for him to come back and then he killed him. And the thing that really fucking pisses me off about this whole thing is he was obsessed with Catcher in the Rye, which is one of my favorite books of all time. And he like really resonated with Holden Caulfield and how Holden, you know, had this hatred for all the phonies in life. So he thought that John Lennon was a phony and that was the reason why he killed him. And after he shot him, he basically waited for the police to come, didn't leave, didn't try to flee, whatever, and was just reading The Catcher in the Rye.
But I'm so interested in, I don't know, criticizing artists as phonies when it's like John Legend was like a...
Lennon.
What I say?
John Legend is still with us, thankfully. Also a great artist.
You know what I meant. John Lennon was obviously a mover and shaker and... not a phony.
Well, I think that's one of the most interesting parts
that's
about
what's
it.
That's
so
right? ironic.
Is because he was like, oh, I'm going to kill this person because they're a phony, or I don't like them because they're a phony. And the exact opposite happened. And John Lennon has withstood the test of time.
Sure.
And goes down in history as probably the best, if not one of the top five greatest songwriters to ever have
of
lived.
Of all time, yeah.
And his estate keeps generating. Yeah. Like, there's so much creative offshoot projects that have come just from shit he never even released.
Yeah.
Like, will go down as one of the most memorialized and beloved artists of all time.
Yeah, it is. That is kind of fucking ironic because it's like, it could
way
not
to go.
Be, yeah, could not be further.
The most
the
incorrect
totally.
Opinion I've ever heard.
Yeah.
Just crazy to me.
Ew, he was such a fucking tragedy, piece man. It's... of shit. Totally. But so in lieu of a funeral, Yoko Ono requested 10 minutes of silence around the world, which I think is really nice.
Gorgeous.
And I mean, people were obviously, it was horrible with all the Beatles fans. I think 3 fans died by suicide shortly after. Like, I mean, it was definitely like, I mean, if we were alive during that time, which we weren't, it was probably one of those moments that everybody remembers when they heard about John Lennon dying. So very, very dark day.
R.I.P. John, R.I.P. George.
R.I.P. R.I.P. Beatles. Aww. Except for the ones that are alive.
Okay, so I was really figuring out what I wanted to do with this day.
I can't wait to hear more.
We've done a Beatles kind of conspiracy theory because, you know, I love to go into the
when
conspiracy theory.
Those tracks backwards.
And like Paul is dead and sure. like all this kind of stuff. But, you know, Mark David Chapman was quote unquote inspired by The Catcher in the Rye to kill John Lennon. So I went and I found some kind of weird crimes. There might have been one murder, but I wanted to keep a little bit lighter. But crimes that were inspired by fictional works. So I thought it was really interesting.
Love that.
So we will dive into that when we do True Crime Rewind in a little bit. But before then, we have got some bitching to do.
Please rise. Court is now in session.
All rise.
Call the first witness.
How do you plead? Guilty or not guilty?
Okay, welcome to On the Stand. Every week we bring a person, place, thing, or an idea to the stand. We either love it, we hate it. We have a great discussion over it. Vote if it's guilty or not guilty. Bring it to Instagram. You vote if it's guilty or not guilty. We might bring one of your On the Stands to debate today. I don't
Ooh,
know.
We do Depends. Have one. I do have one.
I think that we will then. And Jared, would you like to go first?
I would love to go first.
Go ahead.
Today, I'm putting on the stand the idea of waiting in a line for anything. Waiting in line for literally anything.
Yeah.
I forget what we were doing the other day, but there was a line for... Oh, we were going to In-N-Out.
Yeah.
And there's always a line of cars at In-N-Out, no matter where you go. But I hate waiting in a line. And if I need to be in a line, I will do almost anything in the world to avoid it.
Yes, but I think you need to offer a better alternative if you're going to put it on the stand.
What do you mean?
Like, what else are we going to do?
Take a number?
Yeah.
Everyone hates that too.
Take a number, do an online order.
Online order is great.
Show up later.
Show up later than you.
Show up during non-peak hours.
Okay.
These are things that I do. These are suggestions I can make for people.
Absolutely.
The problem I will turn away if somewhere has a line for the most part because I also just like hate waiting mm-hmm. in a line mm-hmm. as most people do. But the problem with In-N-Out is they don't do Postmates. They don't do like
which
orders
is why
you can come in and pick up.
Guess who was in line at In-N-Out? Me.
You.
And you know what? When you want In-N-Out, you want In-N-Out and you will wait.
And you want it
30
right
minutes.
You want it right away.
I don't think I really, there's not much.
And
I
even when you get it right away, it's fucking cold.
And also, it wasn't soon enough.
Lines are guilty.
Hit it.
Ouch. Lines are guilty.
I don't know if that has the effect that we want it to.
I mean, we'll see in the edit. We'll
Especially
see in
since
post.
It's like not in any of the cameras.
Alexis is just going off camera. Okay, so I'll go next.
Okay.
I'm putting on the stand closed captions on streaming TV. Like,
you don't want it or you want it?
Oh, no. I am defending captions on Netflix, on Hulu, on, I don't even know if you can do it on public television. I'm not sure. I'm defending it. I started watching TV with captions when we were watching Love Island because they're British. So, sometimes they talk really fast. They have very strong accents. And sometimes
and they say things you would never recognize
in
the wild.
Their slang is different.
Their
slang Are you mugging me off?
You're such a mug.
What are you doing?
They're like, oh, can I see you for a chat?
What doing? You mugging me off?
She pied me, mate. Yeah, so
pied?
They yeah, pie when you mate? Get when you get pied, you get basically like
a pie in the face.
Yeah, off. Like you get you're getting mugged off.
I love a pie in the
like
face.
You got your bitch.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyways, okay. I started watching Love Island with captions because I was trying to keep up cuz hard, right?
Yeah.
And then they just stayed on the TV. And now they just live on Netflix and on Hulu. And now I've gotten to a point where I can't really watch TV without captions. I
love them.
I don't know what happened.
I love them too.
But it hurts to not watch closed captions.
Some people are like, you're ruining my immersion. I want to be in it. I want to just watch it as intended.
Well, that's sad.
But I want to understand it. I want to know. Let me know what your how good is your script? What do we have going on here? I need to hear every word. I need to know what's going on.
And sometimes I like it because sometimes the captions are different. And I'm like, what does this mean when they're using a different word or they're using a different adjective? You know, where did it go sideways? And I like to, you know, dive into that sometimes.
Absolutely.
Closed captions, not guilty.
Not guilty.
Keep them on always.
Love them.
Not guilty.
Lex?
This is going to be very controversial.
Oh, no.
Love it. Hit me.
You said love it. You said oh, no. Shrimp cocktail.
Oh, boy.
So the reason this comes up is because on Thanksgiving morning.
Whoa. Weird time for a shrimp cocktail.
That's right, Dad.
I'm listening.
So me and Matt are sitting in the living room, and I think just each had a piece of toast, and he comes out. My dad loves Costco. And he'd gone to Costco and it was like this amazing, and their shit's good. Like their shrimp is fresh.
Great.
It was like hella lemons and shrimp. He's like, took it out. It's like 10:19 or something. He's like, Matt's on his computer. We're Brock Friday shopping or something. And I'm like, my dad's like, do you want some shrimp, Alexis? And I'm like, and it looks like my vegan boyfriend. It's like 10 a.m. And I'm like, but I was like, no, because it's too early. And I was like, I don't think
yeah.
He would ever look at me the same. And I was like, yes, I want some shrimp, but what 11:59 I will eat it. Like noon shrimp is like, unless you're having like a crab Benedict, mm-hmm. Shrimp is a 12:01 PM food.
we're not arguing. Okay, so it's not on the stand is not
we
okay on the stand is not shrimp cocktail.
No, on the stand is shrimp cocktail in the
before
morning.
In the morning, yeah. Noon. Okay. And my dad was like, "Want some shrimp?" Like, and I was like, "Very much,
dude."
Were you very
looking,
much?
Were you looking at him with just like heart eyes of the shrimp just getting like shoveled into his
yes.
mouth, being like, "I wish that was
yes.
me."
Yes, yeah. And then also like my boyfriend, who's like, he said in passing a couple times, he's like. Well, like nothing's sicker than like someone eating an oyster or like a shrimp because like he's from Texas. So he's like also never liked even before he was vegan.
It's the finer things.
He liked beef and stuff. He liked burgers, but he never liked shrimp and scallops and oysters.
Yeah.
And I will like eat the fuck out of all.
Oh,
of
my
those.
God. My favorite food.
Truly a shrimp cocktail is my favorite food. Mm. So my dad eating a shrimp cocktail at 10 a.m. I was like, I can't let him. No one can know who I really am. And yeah. This is, the apple doesn't fall far. Yeah. But Dad, 2 hours and 1 minute, I am with you.
That is honestly, a morning shrimp cocktail is a pretty wild move.
I
love
it.
I mean, listen, I would have had some.
You would have eaten it? Because yes. When I had one, again, from Costco, Kirkland
all
it's
day
the
long.
Freshest,
no, their
biggest
shrimp
are rules.
Dude, incredible. And it's on ice and there was like lemon.
Oh my God.
It was perfect shrimp yes. cocktail. Yes. And I ate probably 20 shrimp at 11:59.
20 shrimp were consumed at 11:59 a.m.
So that's
you just like took a big handful and you're
seafood,
just like,
seafood before 10 a.m. Before noon.
That's not.
What about salmon on a bagel?
What?
That's different. That's a breakfast
food. Lox is different also.
Okay.
Because lox is like a traditional breakfast food.
No, those are breakfast foods.
Yeah.
We're excluding that.
Sammy okay. Bent. Or
a shrimp cocktail.
But I think raw
let's keep
how
it narrow.
About raw bar?
Let's, okay, raw bar. An AM raw bar?
A raw bar before noon.
It's a morning raw bar.
Yeah.
Oh my God, yeah. Dude. Yeah, no, I'm... Dude, I want because I want to do that too. I right. want to eat. I'll eat it anytime. However, this is another one of those situations where I don't want people to see me doing it.
No,
it's societally frowned
upon. You're being perceived. Matt was
perceiving
you.
I literally can't
you.
Believe he did it in front of Matt because later he's like, "I can't believe your dad did that." I'm like, "I know."
You're like, "I can. I want to do that.
I wanted," and yeah. I was like, "Ew, right?" And I made a face like, "Gross, babes." He should be vegan
I
too.
Would never.
And then I was like, I want to eat a whole lobster trap full of oh, sea shanties.
I love seafood.
Man, I want some seafood.
I'd eat
right
seafood
now.
All day long.
Same.
I don't care.
I, dude, fucking
so
8
is it guilty or not guilty? Like, where do we land?
You know what? I'm saying not guilty.
Not guilty.
Not guilty unless someone's watching you and you want them to think highly of
what
you.
What you should do
you
know is eat
judge.
Your shrimp cocktail alone before noon.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And don't invite anyone else to partake.
There's nothing sadder than a solo morning shrimp cocktail.
No, there's nothing happier yeah. than a solo morning yep. shrimp cocktail.
Just blissfully alone.
Or like
a Bloody Mary is a loophole.
You can
sure.
put a shrimp on the skewer that goes on
saying.
Top of the... And they've done that before, and I've had
yes.
that at like 10:30 a.m.
No, they have that all the time. That is the loophole to the morning shrimp cocktail.
Well, I'm ready to accept that loophole as my own.
That's right. I'm glad that we workshopped this.
Woohoo!
You found a workaround. Good
Woo-hoo.
Job.
All right. Do we want to listen... Not guilty, obviously.
Not
do,
guilty.
Not guilty, clearly.
Do we want to listen to our first
yeah,
tea on the stand?
First tea on the stand. You
Let's
ready for
it.
This?
Ready.
Yeah. Ready.
Hello, first. Steve, Jack, Alexis, Jared, Matt. I am calling to put on the stand public bathrooms. And more specifically, when you are already parked in your stall going potty and someone comes in and there's plenty of open stalls and they pick the stall right next to you. Why? Why do you do that? I am a nervous tinkler. Like, I don't want people to sit there and be right next to me, like, I'm just trying to do my business and get on out. Why do you have to be right next to me? I don't want to hold your hand. I don't want to hear your business. Just go, like, one stall over. I'm not asking for you to be on the opposite side of the bathroom. Just why? Why right next to me? Why right next to anybody else? Like, that's just weird. So 100% guilty. Thanks, y'all.
You're perfect and your fears are valid, but I want to be the devil's advocate real quick.
Okay.
Like some people might just be too scared to be alone on the other side of the bathroom alone. Like what if it's a scary place and
Jack, do you want to tell your story?
Which one?
Of the lady?
Oh yeah. I mean, you tell it.
Now you guys have to. Sorry.
So
okay, here, I'll
you
I'll
tee it up
I'll tee it
and
up.
Let him bring it home.
So we were at this brewery with our friend Kendra.
Brewery.
Wow.
Brewery.
We were at this brewery with our friend Kendra, and her and I go to the bathroom, and it was a poppin' day at the brewery.
Sure.
And there was this girl that was in the stall between us, and she was on speakerphone with her friend, screaming. She was just like, blah, 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 I'm doing that. And like the friend screaming back, and then somebody else called her, and she goes,
"Not now, I'm taking a piss." In the stall.
Not right now. I'm taking a piss.
I wasn't in there. Sorry. I'm just telling the story how Jack told
That's
it to
so
me.
That's so odd. It's a woman?
Yes.
Taking a piss.
Taking a piss.
Not now. I'm taking a piss.
This is the
like
thing.
I'm peeing right now. That's what I would say.
It was the most abrasive and like so loud. And Kendra and I in the stalls on
and
either
Kendra,
side of her.
I bet her facial expression.
We both like walked out of the stall and we were like, what the fuck was that?
I love this because it's good to know that women do this too.
They
do.
They
don't.
Well, no. Sorry. Sorry. The stalls and like crowding someone who's next to you, not saying I'm taking a piss.
Well, but that's the thing. Like I would never go next to someone unless
I
was afraid.
Nor would I.
Unless I was scared.
But what are you going to be scared about unless there's like a murderer outside?
That's right. I'm trying to give somebody the out where it's like, I don't know. It's better to be closer.
No. You know, people just do it because they have like no spatial awareness. Like
yes.
That's what it is. It's not because they're scared.
Did you realize how many people are just kind of just blissfully coasting through life, oblivious of other people.
There are people who aren't overthinking literally every step they take.
Yes,
most
and they're
people.
Everywhere.
And listen, ignorance is bliss. I wish I was one of those people.
Me and my sister were just talking about this. She's like, I cannot believe there are people out there who like will go to a Thanksgiving party and not help clean and not feel paranoid that they're going to talk. People will talk shit about how you didn't help.
Yeah.
Like, because it's like everything we do is driven by fear of like not doing enough. Yeah. But there are people who don't care.
I think that it's guilty because we have a little bit of awareness, people.
I'll say guilty too. It's like no one wants to be going to the bathroom in public as it is. Mm. Period. No one wants to be anywhere but their own home going to the bathroom. So if you can give someone a little space, you should try.
Give them
and
some
give
space.
Yourself some space. Have some self-love for the love of God.
I know. It's also it's self-love.
Bathrooms are guilty. We need to evolve past bathrooms using the bathroom. Sick.
I can't believe as humans we haven't.
We got to get past it.
Are we okay with this?
We got to evolve more.
Because they're disgusting.
You know, I was thinking, okay, never mind. This is going to get into another tangent.
But honestly, we'll get there.
We'll get there. Save it.
All right. When we come back, it's time for some True Crime Rewind.
When I was growing up, I took French in high school, but I could never get the language to stick. I wanted to be fluent so bad, but it never happened. I just couldn't focus and I couldn't practice enough and it didn't work. But thankfully, there's Rosetta Stone, which is the most trusted language learning program, and it's available on desktop or it can be used as an app on your phone or tablet. Rosetta Stone is different. It immerses you in so many ways. And with its intuitive process, you can pick up any language naturally, first with words, then phrases, and then sentences. And before you know it, boom, conversations. Plus, with Rosetta Stone's True Accent feature, you'll get feedback on how well you're pronouncing words. It's like having a personal trainer for your accent. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, the First Degree listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/first. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/first today.
Okay, so it comes as no surprise that I have absolutely no idea how to cook. I don't want to learn how to cook. It's not really my thing. But when I tried Factor Meals, it was a freaking game changer. So Factor's fresh, never frozen meals are dietitian approved and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Yeah, 2 minutes. So no matter how busy you are, you'll always have time to enjoy nutritious, great tasting meals. So the first time I tried Factor Meals, I was actually blown away because I'm like, that's it. That's all it is. 2 minutes. And the meals are so delicious. With 35 different meals and more than 60 add-ons to choose from every single week, you'll always have new flavors to explore. And you can treat yourself to restaurant quality meals that feature premium ingredients like filet mignon. Ooh, fancy. Shrimp and blackened salmon. Like I said, they're so easy to prepare. I love them. So head to factormeals.com/degree50 and use code degree50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next month. That's code degree50 at factormeals.com/degree50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next month while your subscription is active.
It's almost summer, and the best and most sustainable way to shop for a new season is on TheRealReal.com. TheRealReal is the largest and most trusted source for authenticated luxury resale. It's the only place you'll find brands like Hermes, Cartier, Prada, Dior, Staud, Zimmermann, Jacquemus, and more for up to 90% off retail. 10,000 plus new arrivals land every single day from hundreds of brands you love, all authenticated by a team of in-house experts. Whether it's that perfect wedding guest look, a new summer sandal, an updated beach tote, resort wear for your summer vacation, you're bound to find exactly what you're looking for, plus deals you won't get anywhere else on TheRealReal.com. Visit TheRealReal.com and use code FIRST at checkout for 20% off. Terms apply.
True crime.
Yeah, it's rewind time.
Okay, so welcome back. Today we are going to kind of go through a few different crimes that I have found that were inspired by fictional works, whether that be Ooh. Books, video games, movies, etc. So the first one that I found is the novel Rage by Stephen King. Mm-hmm. Have you ever read that?
I have not read it.
So the book Rage is about a high school student who kills a teacher and takes his classmates hostage. So there was this kid named Jeffrey Lynn Cox, and from the outside he appeared to be this like bright, bubbly kind of kid, but on the inside he was tormented by a lot of different things. He was obviously dealing with his own demons.
This isn't the Dahmer documentary, right?
This is not the Dahmer. Yeah. So in April of 1988, he entered his fourth period humanities class with a rifle. Unlike the book, he ordered the teacher out of the room. So in the book, he held the teacher in the room, but he ordered the teacher out of the room, then made his first weird request. He wanted a carton of cigarettes and four large pepperoni pizzas. Those are his hostage requests.
Sounds like a Friday night at my house.
Request. No, who are we kidding? You like a whole raw chicken. You like a whole rotisserie chicken that you tear a limb from
Viking
limb.
Style, yes.
Yeah, what would be your hostage
four
request?
Four chickens.
Give me rotisserie chickens.
Four rotisserie chickens.
Plural.
Four.
And a bunch of bread. No utensils.
And a Viking helmet.
Let me just rip and tear at that food until it's all gone.
We basically just need to take him to medieval times.
Sure.
Okay, so.
Back to the point.
He also asked for $1 million, which, I mean, if you're going to request whatever, just request what you're going to do.
If you're on like a criminal tear.
Yeah.
Obviously.
And then he also wanted a passage to Brazil. So he's asking for carton of cigarettes, pizza, $1 million, and how to get to Brazil.
Sounds like what I want.
Yeah.
Kind of chaotic, but fair.
So in the book, the shooter turned the hostage situation into this group therapy session, and then it was sort of like a Stockholm syndrome kind of thing. That's what happened in the book. But when this guy, he had a rifle, he put it between his legs. Another classmate rushed at him and knocked him to the ground. Other students assisted, and the incident ended without any of loss of life. So this was actually a happy ending to this situation.
Wow.
But he was one of four shooters that drew inspiration from this Stephen King novel, so much so that in 1999, Stephen King requested that the book never be printed again.
Wow.
So he was inspiring so many of these hostage situations.
But like, I'm really into Stephen King for doing that.
I know. Well,
but
yeah.
Also, I mean, he's had so many incredible,
like the most prolific, incredible author of all time.
Best selling novels. It's probably for him. He's like, it's nothing to be like, hey, if this one's influencing people in the wrong way,
right?
Yank it, which I admire.
Yeah, no, there's something to be
and
said about that.
That man's
for sure.
A genius. Yeah, you know, he really is. Like,
for sure.
His work is incredible.
No, Stephen King's the best. So, the next one I'm going to go to is this man that was inspired by The Vampire Chronicles by Anne Rice, especially the book Queen of the Damned.
Amazing. Mm.
So there is this guy, Alan Menzies, and he stabbed
Menzies.
I am on my Menzies.
I'm on me Menzies.
We're doing the Italian hand.
Menzies.
So Alan Menzies, he stabbed his best friend, Thomas McKendrick, 42 times. So this one did end in a murder.
That's terrible.
He became known as the vampire killer, and he told Edinburgh court that he'd been ordered to kill his best friend, this guy Thomas, by a character in the film Queen of the Damned, with which he was obsessed with, and he'd watched more than 100 times. So he's obsessed with this movie, and he had this like vivid fantasy life that he lived in his mind, and he'd become obsessed with Queen of the Damned and its central character, a vampire named Akasha.
Adele Dazeem.
is it an X?
What?
An Akasha? Is it like
Akasha. A-K-A-S-H-A.
It's fascinating.
So on the day of the killing, he claimed that his friend Thomas made a very insulting remark about the movie. And he obviously was very protective of this movie. He really liked it. And then he snapped, striking Mr. McKendrick on the head at least 10 times with a hammer before stabbing him. And then he drank some of his victim's blood and ate part of his skull before burying the body in a shallow grave.
It seems extreme.
It was insane. And he said that Akasha, who appeared before him, promised him immortality. And he said, at the end of the day, I knew I would have to murder somebody anyway. So if you did not murder somebody, you could not become a vampire, that he told the court. So very inspired.
Told the court, as in like educating them. Like, by the way, you guys can't become vampires unless you do this.
Dude, I'm actually am fascinated by that like older time where like you guys went to Salem where it's like, she will breathe underwater or she is a witch.
It's insane. Like, yeah, you have no option.
Like, okay.
There's no upside.
I breathe underwater and drown.
Yeah.
If I mean, drown, well, then I'm not a witch. Yeah. If I don't, I am and they'll burn me at the stake.
Yeah. If,
so
yeah,
women
if
you, are just going to be... killed.
Imagine being
way.
In that scenario. You're just like, God damn it. Like, what do I do here?
Oh, they're so fucked. They're so fucked.
Well, because they're like, no, we're just going to kill the feisty women. Exactly. The ones who are like not going along with what we say.
Well, that was the thing with the Salem witch trials. Sure. It was all of the women that were outcasts and that were louder and that were, you know,
going to go against the patriarchy.
Exactly. Well, then there were some God-fearing women too. But anyways, so... The last one that I'm going to talk about is a man that was inspired by Dexter. You really liked Dexter, right?
I loved Dexter.
Have you gone back and taken another look at it?
Listen, I don't...
Does it not stand the test of time?
I'm not going to say Dexter is like the most genius show I've ever seen, but I will say that I really enjoyed it. I liked the dichotomy of the sister-brother relationship rather than like...
Even knowing that they had a relationship in real life?
I like it even more, kind of. And they did, and there was no like weird sexual relationship they harped on. I don't think they exploited like sex or... But they exploited murder, right? But I think it was trying to be like vigilante.
Well, it's definitely vigilante.
I don't know. I did like
it. A great premise for a show. It really, truly was.
Did you guys watch the most recent season? The last season? No. Oh, it's so good. You know why it's good? Because the like one of the new characters is a true crime podcaster who like involves herself to her demise.
Sounds like something Alexis would do.
That's right.
Her name, Shmalexis.
Yo.
Schmalinkletter.
No, I think it was Jamie Chung. Jamie Chung played the podcaster.
Well, oh, that's cool.
It was great. I loved it.
Awesome.
But I love Michael C. Hall.
Anyways, there is a man who loved Dexter even more than you.
Mark Twitchell.
Did you know him?
Yeah, I know the case.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Do you want to describe it?
No, you go.
So
I'll just weigh in when I can.
Yeah, weigh in when you can. Yeah. So the first thing about it is he was from Edmonton, which is where Kelty Knight is from, my partner on my other podcast.
Little Kelty.
Which is like a teeny, tiny, 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 small... Edmonton. I don't even... A town.
Canada.
In Canada, yeah. So he loved Dexter. And his whole thing is he wanted to be like Dexter, and he wanted to set up stings for married men, planning to pose as a woman looking for a little bit of action. So he also thought he was like a film writer. He was writing all these scripts.
When he was doing, I think, a Star Wars like fan fiction film.
He was?
He was doing a fan fiction film based on one of the big... franchises. I think it was Star Wars fan fiction, and he rented out this big area. Like, he rented out some space to do that. But like, they were running out of money, and it was sort of... He was talented, apparently, but...
Really?
Apparently. But apparently that actually wasn't his prerogative. Like, the movie wasn't really his prerogative, but he was using it as a...
Ruse?
Sort of.
Interesting.
He also used the space.
So he also had this 8-minute short film called House of Cards, which like... I don't know when it was, before or after House of Cards, where the main character is a violent and twisted vigilante. I mean, sounds familiar. And this is a quote from it. It says, a male killer in the movie poses as a female on an internet dating site, lures a married man into a garage where the film was being done. That male is knocked unconscious and duct taped to a chair. Info about his bank accounts and passwords on his computer are all solicited from him before he is decapitated and his body is cut up. So that was his movie that he had created.
And that's something that he did. I mean, he tried to lure several people this way, and he had a couple thwarted attempts. I mean, he had a plan. He was going to do this to somebody. I think maybe one or two people escaped.
And so he ended up killing one guy. His name was John Brian Attlinger.
Altinger.
So I'm trying to read this thing from like two feet away. So this guy thought that he was going to meet up with a girl. But this is what happened. He's told his friends who he was meeting up with and where he lived.
Yeah.
Or where
he was
she
going.
Lived, where she lived, the address that he was going to.
And it's what we tell everyone to do, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, here's the GPS. We can drop pins now. Here's where I fucking am, bro.
Yeah.
And it's like,
well, you don't think that men really do this. And especially, when was this? I don't know when it was.
But I think men, listen, it's a weird thing where I think men, especially men who don't have a ton of experience with women, I think they're especially vulnerable.
Yeah.
If like a woman finally takes interest in that they've never seen that before, right? Like,
yeah.
And I'm not saying they're not capable, but if they haven't put in the effort or whatever, but if a woman takes interest out of nowhere and they're like, oh, maybe it is as easy as it's on TV, and they can really get sucked into that. And it is very dangerous.
So he ended up killing this guy. Well, he went missing, obviously. But then he used his email, the guy's that he killed's email, and he emailed his friend saying, I've met an extraordinary woman named Jen who has offered to take me on a nice long tropical vacation. So his friends were like, dude, this is not him. And he
hello, friends. No, I seem to have met a new woman in my life.
Not only that, don't quote me on this, but I'm pretty sure his car, quote, and I'm using air quotes, was sold to someone his car was sold to Mark, the perpetrator, for like $1,000.
Oh my God.
So when ultimately the cops came, they're like, he was trying to cover the tracks in all these weird ways. And I think they were using the phone too, being like, I met a sugar mama. She's taking me around the world. And it's like, the people who knew him best started to doubt that.
Yeah.
Because you all know someone who's like, that's just not possible for certain people.
Yeah.
You know, everyone's capable and worthy of love. But like, that's just a weird thing to be like, I suddenly have a sugar mama who's older than me who's going to take care of me. Like, that's kind of random.
Well, it's like his friends obviously did the right thing in this situation where they're like, this doesn't sound like him. We're going to actually contact police, where, you know, a lot of people would probably just, especially if you're like guys with guy friends, like you'd probably just be like, whatever, dude. Like,
when your guy friend said that to you, Jared, if you're like, so-and-so is bringing me on a international trip because I'm so sexy and my dick's big.
Yeah.
You'd be, and it's for free because I'm that good. You'd be like, call the cops.
Yeah.
I would side text like everyone in the group. I'd be like, what the fuck?
You'd be like, we should call the cops, right?
I'm
sorry.
No.
Women don't really do that. It's just far and few between that it's really going to happen.
No, it is. But I'm saying that men do not interact with each other like women do.
That's true.
To the part where they would call the cops being like, this seems unlike him.
No, your friends would just start.
Men kind of
like,
just let their friends do whatever.
Like dunking on you for doing some dumb shit. They'd be like, oh, okay, nice.
Well, and also,
dude.
They don't tell, loser. No, he's unique in that way. Because literally, if I went on a date, I remember when we were both single, Jack, we would always tell each other exactly what we were doing.
Oh, yeah.
And be like, hey, should I wear this?
Yeah.
So we'd have the last photo of what we were wearing. Here's where I'm going. Here's where it went as soon as I left. Like, we were all very, like, involved in each other's shit.
Well, because online dating is sketchy sometimes.
Men are
100%. There's a valid reason why. And I think, honestly, it should be the exact same for both. Like, I think it's totally sane for a man to text any of his friends and be like, hey, this is where I'm going. Especially if you're going somewhere by yourself. Like, you don't know.
Totally.
It's something that's pulling you
men
there from the internet.
Vulnerable.
Who knows?
But that's the thing, though, is like most men won't do that. Most men's friends won't do that. So it was like, that was a series of events that ended up finding the actual killer that probably would have gone, because I know that another man went missing that they tied to him too. His friends probably didn't do that.
Men are much more secretive.
Yeah, for sure. So
they also don't want to get embarrassed if it doesn't go well. You know, they're just very men prideful.
Anything to not display feelings, yes.
Let's avoid them at all costs.
Oh, and he continued to watch Dexter in prison. That was kind of the end cap of that.
He's the worst.
Which is like, maybe take away the one thing that brings this man joy. I don't know.
You fucks.
What a fucking asshole. Anyways, these people are bad, but we're going to see and hear all of the bad things that you people have done next.
You are a horrible person.
What's the worst thing you've ever done?
Thirsty babies, we love you so much. Honestly, I feel like kind of Randy doing this in person.
Isn't Randy horny?
I'm not like aroused in the traditional sense, but I am.
She's emotionally aroused.
Kind of, because for the first time in a while, we're all here together.
No, it is fun.
It is. And usually like after one or two of these, we're kind of falling asleep.
I feel great.
But I feel like I could go all night. Like this is.
I know. I too am Randy.
So here we are with part one of the Firsty Worsties. Off we go.
Hey guys, my name's Melissa. I've been listening to you guys for so long and I think you're amazing and I finally got the nerve to call you guys. So the worst thing I've ever done, when I was, I don't know, like fifth and sixth grade, I had this girl who was picking on me all the time and she was constantly saying that I was pregnant and like all of this random stuff that should not even be said to a fifth and sixth grader. So long story short, after a lot of just trying to clear my name, I decided that I was going to hang posters around our town because she had a tooth, one tooth, in the front of her mouth, and she kind of resembled a beaver. So I got tired of her picking on me, so I printed up, I don't know, 20, 30 signs, pieces of paper, and posted them all over the telephone poles of our very small town of 500 people that said, save a beaver, I'm sorry, kill a beaver, save a tree. It's very inappropriate, very bad for a child to do, but I was very tired of being picked on. May not be the worst thing I've ever done, but for that age group, that was definitely not a highlight of my life. So thank you guys so much. Oh, by the way, I had to take anger management classes because of that. What are you going to do? You guys are amazing. Thanks for giving me a safe space. Keep on doing what you're doing.
So my understanding is that she hurt you first,
mm-hmm.
which is why you retaliated. And I think you know that we should all rise above and not retaliate.
I could see this in a scene of a movie with you with your paper, slapping them all over the place with like a picture of a beaver.
Right.
And like it turns into this story that like you're whatever. So I feel like this is just typical high school behavior. So don't feel bad about it. But like,
don't do it again.
Don't you know not to
I
do it
I think you know, and I think that's why you're calling in about it. But
well, Jared, tell you know. What about do a little quick anecdote about the swing.
My natural thing when I was a kid, maybe I was angry sometimes.
Oh,
but
you!
If someone bullied me, my thing would be to retaliate, but like one up it.
What?
So I had a kid. I was on the swings. It was in like
how old were you? I need more
second
information.
Or third grade.
Okay, so you're
young.
7 or 8.
He's a little
young.
7 or 8.
Very vivid.
Very
memory.
Young.
Very
and
vivid.
Not accountable for his own actions.
Not at all.
No.
So that's why we can tell the story. But yeah. Some kid called me a freckle face.
How dare he?
And I was on the
which,
swing.
Honestly, I think is a good thing.
Yeah,
rude.
Well, great.
Freckle face.
But it was in front of like,
the hot chick of the grade?
Well, whatever. I'm like in third grade, but it's in front
the
of
hot
a girl.
Third.
It was
right?
in front of his little crush.
It's in front of somebody else. So I get off my swing.
She looked like Jack. Sorry, go ahead.
Unclear.
Jared, I thought that you didn't like anybody other than me ever in your life.
This is true. Okay. So I get off my swing and then I stand in front of his, which is coming forward. And I just kind of put my fist out and he kind of swings into my fist and I knock him off the swing. And I do not recommend doing this. I got in a lot of trouble. I got the talking to.
It was like a teacher's aid saw or something.
I think
yeah.
that is almost a science lesson of inertia, though. Like
but
you
I,
were just showing him a little
I was,
knowledge.
Well, also growing up, my mom was like, don't take any shit off of anybody. So that probably didn't help.
Mom's
so.
Like, don't let anyone fuck with my son.
Yeah,
that's
yeah,
right.
So.
She's like, you go punch every guy that makes fun of you.
Dude.
No.
Right in the face.
No.
Right in the
no.
kiss up.
I'm goofing. But. So I understand that the desire to retaliate and take it up a notch,
yeah.
but you reach a certain age where like that volley keeps going back and forth, and,
oh,
then,
totally.
And then it gets really
well,
out
then
of
you get
hand.
Really violent. Yeah.
That's how
yeah.
high school was for me
totally.
Too, and it was a really slippery slope.
Well,
so you got
wow,
mad, you
a,
took it too far.
Say,
don't beat it? Yourself up. It's that's, not. There's no guilty or not guilty.
You're perfect.
We're, what's
you're
worsty?
Perfect.
You're firsty worsty. Like we all are.
We love ya.
We love ya.
Don't beat yourself up.
All right. Well, do you want to try to spitball?
Ooh, what was the theme of this one?
Fiction.
John Lennon, Dexter, fiction
ooh,
works
ooh,
that led to crime.
Okay, I can try to freestyle something.
All right, let's freestyle.
Do you need a beat?
George Costanza is not a Beatle. You do the next line, Jared.
He likes to sew. He has a needle.
What else rhymes with needle?
He really likes Don Cheadle.
Oh,
you
shit.
Go next, you go next. But you can also change it to the next. You can change.
There's only one line left.
He would look really great in a Speedo.
Speedo.
And George Costanza is forgiving.
Forgiving?
He's ready for a life worth living.
He's ready for a life worth living.
And he's made mistakes, but he's forgiving. Once again.
Wow. Let's cut those last three lines out. I'm just kidding.
We're leaving that in.
And he's ever living.
And he gets snaps.
No, you can cut it out.
No, we'll keep it in.
Whatever is good. Bye.
It stays in.
Whatever is going to make the people happy.
It stays.
Bye-bye. Bye.